100.1 FM WRHI. Palmetto Mornings with Freddie Hammer and Lucas McFadden on the phone with our NASCAR correspondent, Rusty Ray, calling from the whole way out in Minnesota. Do you find a lot of NASCAR fans? I mean, of course, you came from Myrtle Beach, and we had a lot of Carolina love for NASCAR, but how about up there?
You know, I mentioned to people, and I'm getting a chance to meet a lot of people and trying to build my own business here, and I say, oh, you know, I'm a big NASCAR fan, and I'm going to Darlington at Labor Day, and some of them kind of look at me like, what is this guy talking about? He's not talking about hockey. We don't want to talk to him. But some people are like, oh, yeah, there's more fans here than you realize. I did meet a fellow a few months ago that he goes to every race at Kansas, which he says is the closest track to Minnesota. I think Chicago is right up there, too. And then there's a good track in Iowa that runs Xfinities and Truck Series. So they're here. I think that you see more of the local short track Friday, Saturday night race fans up this way.
Well, we'd certainly have racing in the Carolinas. Last week, of course, the Coca-Cola 600. How exciting for Austin Dillon to pick up his first win.
Such a talented young driver, and I think I said earlier in the season it was going to happen for him. He had some really good finishes, did really well at Daytona, and it was just a matter of time, and it was one of those things where he was in the right place at the right time. Jimmy Johnson, Mr. Charlotte Motor Speedway, ran out of gas, but you got to give credit to the number three team and Austin Dillon. They were where they needed to be. Take advantage. He was closing in on Jimmy, and Jimmy was trying to save, and Austin was given the go-ahead to not have to save fuel, and fuel is often a big part of the 600. It's such a long race, and with the stages now, and these crew chiefs gambling on it and saying, I think we have enough gas, and in Austin Dillon's case, with Justin Alexander, they made the right call. Very exciting for the entire Childress organization, and they are now in the playoffs, along with teammate Ryan Newman, guaranteed a spot. But Austin Dillon really on the surge this season, and I think his crew chief pairing and, of course, his owner is his grandpa, and they're running that number three that Dale Earnhardt Sr. ran. It's a great story and a great, great win for that team.
Do you think, is it a committee decision as far as bringing on a new crew chief? How many people get involved in that choice?
Yeah, I was listening to an interview yesterday on the radio with Richard Childress, and he said that, yeah, they knew that they had to kind of make a business decision. They had longtime crew chief, a guy by the name of Slugger Labby, was Austin's crew chief for a while there. He got his start a few years ago in the Cup Series, and they just said, you know, we need to do a little bit a different thing here. So they brought this guy up from the Xfinity Series side, where they had some success with Austin and other drivers driving the number two car over the past several seasons. And so they said, well, it's worked there. Let's see if it'll work on the Cup side. So it's a business decision that starts with the owner, but in this case, because Austin is his grandson, and because it is kind of a family operation, I think that Austin had a big say. You know, there's got to be chemistry. It's like Days of Thunder, the movie with Tom Cruise and Robert Duvall. They've got to get along. The crew chief and the driver have to kind of meet somewhere. They don't have to be best buddies, and they don't have to, you know, they don't have to be at each other's throats all the time.
Sure.
But, you know, you see a relationship like Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson with seven titles on their pairing so far. They're kind of chippy sometimes, but they're ultimately competitors, and they trust each other. And when you have a young driver like Austin Dillon, if he can find a crew chief that he knows that he can trust and knows that trusts him enough, when you get into a situation like Sunday night or as it was Monday morning, driving and running out of gas and knowing that you will be in position if you do everything just right, I think that that's the kind of stuff that they have to take into consideration when making that kind of decision. And it's an owner decision, but I think that Richard, in this case, took a lot of input to make that decision.
So we're heading to Dover, the Monster Mile. I've read a little bit about this track bite adhesive. They're kind of taking some chances. Is this going to work for them? Is this a concern for the drivers? Maybe they like it.
I think this season have been positive. They used it at Bristol, and of course they had a rain situation in Bristol, and so I think they reapplied it after the rain, washed all the rubber off the track and all the grip off the track. And so they said, well, let's try it. And then they used it this past weekend in Charlotte. And those two tracks, Bristol and Charlotte, by Bruton Smith and his firm, and so they kind of were like, we're going to try this. Well, Dover, not owned by them, but Dover, like Bristol, has the concrete surface on it, and so it seemed to favor it, and it allows for better grip, but more importantly, it allows for multiple grooves, multiple lanes for fastest ways around this one-mile high-banked track. It's called the Monster Mile because the speeds are very high. And remember, Freddie, it's a self-cleaning track. The banking is so steep, even on the straightaways, the cars just slide on down. If they're not moving forward with momentum, they're going to slide on down. There's a wreck. It's going to clear itself, and you go around the top real quick. But no room to hide. Pitch strategy very big at Dover because it's only a mile around, not very long, and very high speeds. Those laps go by very quickly.
No doubt. And talk about some folks on really doing well this year. Martin Truex at the top of the heap for the whole thing.
Yeah, he's really the best overall right now. He's just had the best consistent finishes. He's got the win. He does well near the top. He had another good race in the 600, had a little bit of trouble at the end, but did pretty well overall. He's a great fantasy pick, too. He's the best value pick fantasy. He's number one right now in NASCAR.com's fantasy league because he's scoring the best points. He's winning stages. He's won a lot of stages, including one or two the other night. So Martin Truex, Dover considered his home track. He's just from across the bay there in southern New Jersey. So he got his first cup win many, many years ago, about 10 years ago, at Dover, and I believe he's tacked on another one at Dover since then. So Truex continuing really this 18-month span of just phenomenal racing, and they can put it together towards the end of the playoffs. They could win a cup championship this year for Furniture Row Racing.
Well, who do you like for this week? I mean, you're talking about Dover. You got a your Kyle Busch guy. He's, trying.
First of all, if you're talking about Dover, you have to talk about Jimmy Johnson.
Okay.
He nearly got another 600 win the other night. He's got 10 wins at Dover in his career. He's got the wins this season, but, man, he just owns Dover. He loves to race there. He just dominates that track, just like Jeff Gordon did before him. So Jimmy Johnson, always a favorite there. I've always also liked the Penske cars, the 22 of Joey Logano there, and, of course, Brad Keselowski. They do pretty well at Dover. But my pick is going to be Mr. Controversy, Kyle Busch,
all right,
in the number 18 car. He stays in the mix. He's very near the front. He's really ticked off. He just hasn't completed these races and finished where he wants to. And that came out the other night in the media center, caused quite a stir on Twitter because the reporter asked him if he was surprised that Austin was able to use fuel mileage to win the race. And after picking his nose in front of the TV cameras, jeez, Kyle said, "I'm not surprised by anything. Congratulations." And dropped the mic on the table and walked away like a petulant child. I don't know. Whatever. That's just kind of fodder for whatever.
Sure.
Kyle Busch is the most talented driver on the track still, in my opinion. And he does well at Dover, and I think that he could do well on Sunday to kind of say, "Listen, boys, I'm you say what you want about me, but I'm still in this, and I'm still a contender."
Rusty Ray, it's so nice to talk to you. Thanks so much for continuing to be our NASCAR correspondent. I learned so much from you.
Yeah, I'm here to help, Freddie. Always great to talk to you guys. Hope everybody there in the greater Rock Hill region has a fantastic weekend.
Thanks, Rusty. AAA 400 Drive for Autism. You can check that out on Sunday noontime. Pre-race coverage begins with a flag drop at 1 o'clock on our sister station, Interstate 107.